Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. Here we are again with another episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And we're delighted that you're joining us. If this is a first time for you, we hope that that Lord will bless you in listening, but that you'll become part of our regular community. And one of the ways you do that, let's just do this right out of the gate,
yes,
is you subscribe.
Oh, please subscribe.
You have to subscribe,
please.
Otherwise you don't get into heaven.
That's
and
true.
So it's important to subscribe to the podcast.
Well, if you're talking about this podcast is sort of a sweet heavenly place.
Yes, very much so.
That's what he meant, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of a sweet heavenly place, we are in a sweet heavenly place. Not all of it smells like that, but it is a very nice place. Mark, introduce our guest.
We are with Mark Halleck in his church, Calvary Church in Inglewood, Colorado, and it's a wonderful place. It is a glorious place where God has made known, and this church has come roaring back to life after being nearly dead. And not only that, is God has used it to replant and plant 30 churches across the mountain states. And this is really sort of the inner sanctum of church replanting for those of us who are really into that kind of thing. So it's a privilege to be in Mark Halleck's church.
Now, I'm so glad you're here, guys.
Well, we're delighted to be here. And Cecily, yeah, since you have all the equipment, Mark doesn't know this, but the reason we're here is we don't have any podcast equipment. So yeah, in order to do a podcast, we had to
come.
How this is going.
One of the things I'm impressed about coming to this church, every time we've come here to do an episode, we always get offered a Coke Zero.
That's and true. Think,
lots of Coke Zero
lots
around
Lots of Coke
here.
Zero.
Yeah, we like it.
Awesome.
I don't know what that's
listen,
about.
Yeah, but I don't know. But listen, what I do know, I love you guys. This is a joy. It's a joy to be together.
Well, it's great. It's great to be with you. We've enjoyed going through this series together of some of the characteristics of a pastor who God is using in revitalizing situations. So I encourage you, as soon as you subscribe, go back and listen to the previous podcast. And by the way, by subscribing, then you really do become part of the family, part of the community. You can sit at the cool kids' table at lunch.
Is that what this is?
So be sure and subscribe. Okay, what are we going to talk about today?
I want to kick off our discussion today with an issue that is very, very near and dear to my heart, because we've all dealt with the issue of initiative and motivation and that sort of thing. And can I just kind of kick it off with one of my favorite verses? And that is Psalm 37:14, which is, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. We always interpreted that, he'll give you anything you want. But really what it's saying is he'll put his desires in your heart. He'll motivate you to do what it is that he wants. So let's talk about this subject of initiative. Where do you find your initiative? How do you sense what it is that God is up to, and how do you get in on it?
And unfortunately, some pastors have very little initiative.
Mm.
I don't know exactly what they thought they were getting into when they become a pastor.
Yeah.
I think they felt like I was going to preach and maybe do some hospital visitation, and people would call me blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And it's like, no, there's a little more to it than that.
Yep.
And really, sometimes I will sit down with a guy and I'll do a consult with him, and he'll be talking about his churches declining and so forth. And I'll say, well, tell me what an average day looks like for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if there is a long pause,
yeah,
like, well, but if there's not, if a guy goes, man, I do this, and then I'm doing this, and
yep,
I do that,
yep,
that's a guy who has initiative and a guy who doesn't.
Yeah.
And when you look up initiative in the Southern Baptist Dictionary, there is an entire biographical sketch of Mark Halleck. He is nothing but initiative.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know about that.
I think so.
But here's what I would say. Man, you got to have fire in your bones, man.
That's right.
If you have fire in your bones, I would say, man, you got to have fire in your bones for the Lord, first and foremost, for his word. You've got to have initiative, a real sense of initiative in pursuing God's people who are there in the church. That's
yep,
why shepherding has got to be a passion for you. But I'll tell you what, you've got to have a passion for the lost. Your heart has to be broken for the lost in the community. And if your heart isn't broken for the lost, you need to get on your knees even right now and say, God, change my heart. You know, one of the sayings for years and years here at this church, you know, we have pews forever. We actually just changed, put in chairs after 14 years. I don't know if
took
you know
you 14? Yeah, 14 good for years. You for not talking
no,
about
right.
tactical
no,
patience.
No, that was tactical. But here's what we used to say. You're sitting in, and you know, when we had 30 people spread out in the sanctuary, and one of the things we begin saying regularly is empty pews break the heart of God. Mm. And if our hearts don't break, because those pews were built for men and women and boys and girls to sit in, that they might hear the gospel, that they might know the Lord and worship him for all that he is. And so, but here's what I know. My people, our people will never, their hearts will never break if our hearts aren't first breaking.
I know.
If we're not communicating that. And that takes initiative. That takes initiative to be with those who are lost and then to help your people fall in love with the lost.
I agree. And again, you have to have that sort of self-driven initiative.
Yes, yes.
To go every day and get up and know there's something God has for me to do today. And I'm going to look for every opportunity to do it. I'm not just going to sit around and wonder, what That's should right. I do today? How yep. should I fill up my day? Or I'm just going to react to some problems in the church. I'm going to be proactive about
That's
making
right.
the gospel known, proactive about growing disciples,
yep.
proactive about being a shepherd, proactive about being a missionary.
Yes.
Let me tell you about initiative.
Yep.
So elderly pastor passed away many years ago. His name was Leland Hefford, and he was sort of a distant cousin, distant uncle of mine, I should say. And his younger brother, Billy Hefford, led my dad to Christ and then helped me get my first pastorate. Both of them have gone on to heaven. But Leland and his wife, excuse me, they went, excuse me, go ahead and edit that out there, Kyle. Just, we take care of those kind of things here. Up in rural North Missouri. Now, I would not recommend you do this today. You would probably be arrested. But now that I have your attention. But there were no children in it. He was in his 80s, he and his wife. And they went to this little country church to be the pastor. He was in retirement, but he wanted to keep pastoring, and he still had some many years left. But there were no children. Hmm. So what did they do? He and his sweet wife, they went to the school, and when a bus would leave to take children home, they would follow that bus. And then they would write down how many children got off the bus and what house they went to and the age and the gender of the child.
Wow.
And they would do that for several days and followed every bus home. And then they had a list of where all the children were in the community and where they lived. And then they started going visiting the children, asking them to come to Sunday school. That is initiative.
Wow.
Now, be careful about following buses home and writing down. This was back in the 80s. But that's what I mean about initiative.
Yeah.
Not an 80-year-old pastor says, we just don't have any children. Well, we're going to go find them.
Yeah.
And here's how we're going to find out where they
live. We're not going to just sit and wait for them to come to us.
Right.
And when you go into a revitalization context, if you don't have initiative, you can honestly spend a lot of time doing nothing. And so initiative is so important. And again, what I would just say to the listener who's struggling with that, who honest, if they're just honest, says, man, I tend toward laziness. I tend to not taking initiative. What I would say is a couple of things. One is get on your knees before the Lord and say, oh God, would you change my heart? Would you break my heart? Would you give me a heart to honor you and to love people? I would also say this. Find some friends or mentors who have initiative, who you can learn from, who you can ask questions of. It's so important because I think, you know, when you're around lazy people, you become lazy. When you're
Man,
around
say friends, that again.
Yeah. Well, when you're around lazy people or lazy pastors, guess what? You become lazy. And
wow.
So you need to find pastors and leaders who have initiative, who have passion. Find them.
So let me give you, if you're a pastor and you're in a declining situation, let me give you a practical thing you can do. Contact your area associational missionary if you have one, or if not, contact your state convention. Everybody has a state convention. And ask where there are some church planters in your general geographical region.
Yeah.
And then go hang out with those church planters.
That's good. That's good.
They would be delighted to have you hang out with them. And I want to tell you, if a guy is a church planter, if he's really a church planter, he has to have an issue.
You have
or
to.
He's not going to be a church planter.
You won't make it.
And so what happens is, Mark, and I've done this all my ministry, tendencies for declining pastors to hang out with other declining pastors.
Yeah.
And for church planters to hang out with church planters, and then for maybe pastors of growing congregations to hang out together. And that really doesn't help declining pastors. Mm. They need to be with those other groups so that some of that initiative and that kind of thing, they can pick up on that. And
that's
they can
really
begin
good.
To, yeah.
So maybe what begins is take the initiative even today to call up. Just lean into it, man. Send an email, send a text and say, hey, well, can I get with you? I want to learn from you.
If you're a 60-year-old pastor like me, Well, I was 60 years old a few years ago.
You're getting old.
Anyway, I know. But if you were, by the way, 60 is the new 40. I just want you to know that. So if you were a 60-year-old pastor and your church is declining and you think, well, what's that church plan? If you email a 23-year-old church planter who's doing a good job in your community and you say, or you call him, or you text him. Don't leave him a voicemail because he won't listen to a voicemail. But maybe text him or something, or Instagram him. That's what you could do. But contact him and say, hey, would you have some time to have a cup of coffee with me? He would be delighted
absolutely,
to do that.
Absolutely.
He would make his day that an older pastor wanted to spend time with him.
Yes.
And the first thing you do when you spend time with him is you say, man, I just want to learn from you. And he'll go, really? You want to learn from me? Yes, I want to learn from you. And he will ask you questions about maturity,
totally,
about counseling with families, about all kinds. And you will find this sweet relationship between the two of you that I think you will find very helpful. So if you lack initiative, take the one initiative, find a church planter in your community that's doing a good job, and say, hey, can I spend some time with you?
I love it, man.
And if he says, no, I don't have time, send me his name, yeah, and I will call that knucklehead and straighten him out.
And find somebody else, because there are other guys out there.
And find somebody else, yeah, but still send me his name,
yeah,
because
yeah,
I do
want to
have
wants to talk to
I want to have a conversation
right,
with that brother.
Yep.
That brother needs to deal with our next topic.
Which is?
Emotional intelligence.
Isn't that true? Hey, really, it is critical. If you're going to be in a revitalization situation, you're in a church that's already dysfunctional to some degree.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
right,
it wouldn't be declining.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably have, over the years, some probably good leadership has left for a variety of reasons. There's probably some dysfunctional relationships in there. If you don't know how to read a room, if you don't know your own strengths and weaknesses, if you're one of those guys that come into a situation and you actually make it worse rather than better by mm-hmm, the way you handle it, you should not be a revitalizing yeah, pastor by
any
means.
That's so true. That
and
is so true.
You've got to know who you are, know your strengths, know your weaknesses. We talked about this in a previous podcast. You have to even know your facial expressions.
Yes.
When you walk into a room, are you the person that your face basically exudes hope and optimism yeah, and joy
yep,
or dread and anger and
that's
angst?
Right. That's right. And same thing with the tone in your voice.
Yes.
You know, these are, you know what this is really basic. This is people skills.
Yes.
You're not going to learn people skills in seminary, to be
no,
honest. And I love seminary. But this is the most effective leaders understand how to work with people.
Right.
They know how they come off to people. If you come in the room and you're the ticked off guy all the time, even though you supposedly have joy in your heart, well, man, I want to see the joy of the Lord in you, you know? Caring for people. This is where healthy touch is so important.
Right.
And encouragement. I know that makes you nervous, but it's true. Like learning how to hug somebody, learning how to read a room, knowing when not to hug somebody.
That's right.
I mean, that's emotional intelligence.
That is emotional intelligence.
But it's knowing how self-awareness for your own yourself, but also for those in
and
the
to
room,
be able to read signals from people that says
yes,
it's okay to move in closer.
Yep.
I need to stay a little further
that's
away.
That's exactly right.
And it's okay to talk some more, and I need to be quiet and listen.
Yes.
And those are all things you can learn, some of those behaviors. You can help people give you some insight into those behaviors. But at the end of the day, we have discovered that God uses men in revitalizing situations who do have a sense of emotional intelligence. They know their strengths. They know their weaknesses.
Yep.
They can understand a room. They can head off a problem. You know, they can be in a small group situation and you can begin to see, okay, there's a guy in here that's going to start dominating this conversation.
Right.
And it's going to go in a way I don't want it to go. But you're able to sort of navigate that in
mm-hmm,
a way that you can head that off before it gets to become a problem.
Yes.
Or you can just sit there and let the train wreck happen.
Yep.
And go, well, it's not my fault. Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You should have had enough emotional intelligence, the dynamics in that room, to know this was going to happen, and your leadership was able to keep it from happening.
Yes.
Or if it starts happening, you know how to shut it down in a way that is not unpleasant and not uncomfortable, but yet firm.
Right.
I'm not telling
that's
you that.
That's so good.
You
man,
don't learn that overnight. It is
nope,
trial and error.
Yep.
But you need to be making a progression
yep,
so that your emotional intelligence is getting better, not worse.
And so much has been written on emotional intelligence
absolutely,
in recent years. And what I'm always encouraged by is you can really grow in this.
You can.
You know, so don't just say, well, I'm just never going to get that. That's not true.
Right.
Satan wants you to believe that. That's not true. You
right,
have the Spirit of God in you to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And part of that, I believe, is wisdom and love. And part of love is learning how to listen and how to speak in a hard situations
and
in a loving way.
A lot of these things overlap with them. And later on in another podcast, we're going to talk about dealing with conflict. But one of the things about emotional intelligence is sometimes we have a conflict avoidance.
Yeah.
And so rather than dealing with conflict, we just back off from it. And that's a lack of emotional intelligence, because we don't realize at that point the conflict's just going to get worse.
That's right. Yep.
You know, I remember Tom Rainer one time said that if he's ever had to terminate somebody, he never had a problem thinking, well, I terminated them too late. It was always, you know, I should have terminated them earlier. Mm. In other words, the problem didn't get better the longer I waited for them or for the organization.
Right.
It should have been done earlier rather than later. The longer you wait for those problems, the worse they become.
Right. Learning how to have hard conversations.
This may be kind of circling back to some of the other things that we've said. But, you know, people who are motivated, who have initiative, know how to motivate other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have initiative and you don't have the motivation to do what you're supposed to be doing, how in the world are you going to stimulate other people's faith to practice that way? With that having been said, how do you go about finding the hot buttons that other people have to begin to motivate them and to get them to have this initiative that your church needs?
You got to understand who these people are. You know, there have been many times in my life where I have joined a health club. There've been very few times I followed through with it, but there are many times that I'm pretty pumped to join.
Yeah,
that was
totally.
The best day of your life is the day before you join a health club.
I feel great.
You do, because I'm going to do something. But whenever I join a health club, there's always some dude that sits down with me and he tries to pretend like he really cares, and he gets my history of my life in terms of activity, level of activity, what I do, what I need to do, what I like to eat. He learns about me before he sets out a plan for my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's individualized. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I probably don't decide to follow that plan. That's another podcast for another day. But many times in our churches, we don't take time to sit down and do that kind of interview with somebody to find out where they are spiritually, how they came to the Lord, what their good seasons have been, what their bad seasons have been, where their hurts have come from, what's their experience with leadership, learning what motivates them. That's what that guy's trying
to
do.
That's exactly right.
And when he's interviewing me, he's trying to find those things that will motivate me to be more active and to do what I need to do to get my body better shape.
Yep.
You know, and of course, I want to be careful about that because I don't want to become prideful in my body.
Yeah.
So I have to work really hard.
We are all concerned about
I know. And so I really want to make sure that doesn't become an idol for me.
No, I know.
So I've pretty much got that covered.
But you're totally right, though. Everything you're saying is right. And that's where we want to, this is why we're shepherding individuals, not just a mass of people, but individuals. We want to know them so that we can know how to help encourage them and how to help spur them on and help them take initiative in their own
spiritual life. And so in a normative sized church, as a pastor, you can do that almost, you can do that for your whole congregation.
Absolutely.
But as your church begins to grow, then you have to help instill that in other leaders, either elders or pastors or however your church is organized, so they can do that as well.
Exactly.
So it doesn't ever get lost. That idea of really knowing who people are, what motivates them, what their experiences have been, is incredibly important.
That's great.
And helping them to understand that's how they connect with other people also.
Yes.
Everybody's motivated at different levels at different times and have different things that do motivate them.
Absolutely.
It kind of comes down to spiritual gifts to a degree.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah,
it's great.
And understanding all of that. All right, let's start wrapping this thing up because we still have more to talk about in other episodes. So we want to encourage you to join us by just simply subscribing to our podcast. There's a little button there on your screen where you can click and join. Then it tells us a little bit about who's listening. You don't have to fill out any information, none of that stuff. It just lets us know that there are people listening. And it also gives us the opportunity to send you some information about our podcast, upcoming episodes, that sort of thing. And you can find out about episodes that we have already recorded that you can go back and listen to.
And really, one of the things we decided when we started this podcast, you know, we started with Dr. Rainer, and we've been going for 5 years, and now it's just us here. And one of the reasons we started this podcast was to create a brotherhood of men who are replanting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And most of you out there listening, you really need a family, a brotherhood.
Yeah.
And I don't want to overstate this, but man, just hitting that subscribe button puts you into this family.
Yeah.
And when we come up with a new podcast, you're going to hear about it first. And any other information we have, any conferences we have, any new resources we think are going to be good, we're going to be able to give those to you. So I mean, it's just a way, you hit that button, it's like, hey, send me some free stuff. Hey, include me in your family.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know we joke a lot about it because, you know, it helps, you know, we want to get the podcast out there. But we really do want you to be part of a family.
That's right. That's our heart.
And so the way you can do it is to subscribe.
Yeah.
It also gets you registered for the trip to the Holy Land that we're not going to give away.
Yeah. That Mark and I will be leading.
It's actually
7 nights in the Holy Land. No days. You can't be there. You got to go somewhere else during the daytime. Right. But you got 7 nights.
And you've never seen a trip like this.
Yeah. I don't care where you go during the daytime, but you can't be in the Holy Land. But 7 nights in the Holy Land. I have no idea what this means.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, and we hope that you'll join us in an upcoming episode because we have more insightful, like you've just heard, coming up. See you then.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.